This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. He's a grizzled journalist in his 40s or 50s. She's a young woman in her 20s, an artist fleeing an upper-middle-class life that's been traced out for her by her parents. And she's headed to the big city, Berlin, to work on her drawings. They meet on a train, and their lives unfold, connecting and diverging amid the backdrop of a changing Germany between the world wars. They're characters in a new graphic novel by cartoonist and Center for Cartoon Studies professor Jason Lutz. The book is hefty, more than 500 pages, meticulously drawn, and even more meticulously researched. And it took him more than 20 years to complete it. Jason Lutz joins us now to talk about his book, Berlin. Jason, nice to talk with you.
Thanks for having me, Jane.
Can you briefly place us in the historical context of this book, Berlin, Between the Two Wars? What do we need to know?
To some degree, I want readers not to need to know a whole lot because I try to kind of lead them by the hand into the city. But World War I, which at the time was just known as the Great War because they didn't know there was going to be a second one, had ended, and Germany was trying to rebuild itself in the wake of that. And society was in sort of out of balance, and there were a lot of forces vying for political power and at the same time, Berlin was kind of at the forefront of science and art and culture. So that's the general environment that those two main characters you described enter into.
Well, I'm glad to say I did it exactly as you intended. I didn't read any reviews. I didn't read up on it. I just opened the book and you meet these characters on the train. And it's a pretty magical and masterful unfolding of a story starting that way, not putting them in context. And you do have some real historic figures in the novel. There are a few pages where we see Hitler, for example. We get to know the editor of a weekly paper on politics and art who's sent to prison for treason. But most of your characters are sort of regular people just living their lives in this particular time and place. And that's very obviously quite intentional. But there's so much history and accuracy and research baked into this story that you tell about these people's lives. So why was that historic context and historic research and even research and writing in German, among other languages, so important to you to include?
I really wanted to understand what life was like on the street for people. I grew up in the Western United States, and I didn't actually go visit Berlin, the real city, until I was 200 pages into this story. So one of my goals was to imagine as thoroughly as possible what the real place might have been like, and then put myself in the shoes of my characters as they went about their lives. So all of the research, and I did about 2 years of just reading and taking notes and not really planning out because I wanted it to be improvisational, but collecting and absorbing as much material as possible so that I could immerse myself in it and really kind of imagine, you know, being there.
Why? What was so captivating to you about this? I mean, it doesn't sound like it was necessarily personal experience.
Yeah, no, not at all. When I made the decision to do it, I think I was 28 years old, and it was very impulsive. I just thought I was finishing my first book, my first graphic novel of any length, and I felt like I had understood how the medium of comics works, and I was thinking about what to do next, and somewhat at random, I decided it would be a 600-page book about Berlin Between the Wars, not really knowing anything about Berlin Between the Wars. And later, it wasn't until much later that I realized unconsciously what I wanted was to educate myself about, the circumstances leading up to World War II and the Holocaust.
Well, it's a heck of a way to do it. I mean, my goodness, 20 years and all of that work and this amazing book then that comes out at the end. So you didn't write, you said, for 2 years because you were doing research, and then you started drawing and writing. Over all of this time, has your drawing style changed? Did you ever have to reconcile older drawings and newer ones? Because it's remarkably consistent and wonderful throughout the book.
Oh, thanks. I'm a cartoonist. Some cartoonists just draw and draw and draw, and they polish a style and they kind of get better, you know, practically from week to week. I'm somebody who, when I approach a story like this, I try to draw I guess I took a documentarian's approach. I try to sort of render everything as objectively as possible. And as a result, I think, things look pretty consistent throughout. There was a point maybe halfway through where I went back to the very beginning and redrew the first like 4 or 5 pages because I couldn't stand to look at them anymore. But one funny thing about a book this long is that I improved incrementally, and I can probably see it more than anyone else. But it happens so gradually that the reader's blind to it, because from page to page, it's such a gradual change that by the time you get to the end, you don't realize that the artist themselves has improved.
Oh, now I'm going to have to go back and like flip through from the beginning to the end to see what I can see.
Yeah, there's some awkward anatomy in there.
In addition to the politics, there's a lot of interesting context about the artistic and popular culture in Berlin in the late 20s and early 30s, including a really robust gay nightlife. One of your central characters is transgender. And I'd love to know a little bit more about what you learned about the LGBTQ culture in Berlin at that time and why you wanted to include that as part of the storyline.
Well, when I started the book, I was living in Seattle, and it was the early 90s. And it was a place where a lot of people who had just graduated from college were going. Like the grunge music scene was taking off, and there was this feeling of a lot of different subcultures kind of rubbing shoulders and cross-pollinating in terms of like creative endeavors. And there was in Seattle, there was and is a thriving LGBTQ culture and scene. And a lot of my friends belonged to it. And when I was reading about Berlin, among the various kind of resonances I felt with my current moment at the time was the fact that Berlin was kind of the kind of gay capital of Europe, that people, you know, from small towns in various places and different countries would all migrate there so that they could be around people like them. And it sort of naturally became an interesting idea to me, an interesting kind of world to explore while I was exploring the lives of these different characters. So I was just naturally drawn to it, and I didn't have any kind of like political motivation really. I was just curious about these people.
Over all of these years working on this, did you put aside what the critical response would be, or is this always in the back of your head, like, this is going to be a bestseller? Because it's getting amazing reviews in the national press. I mean, this is making quite a stir, and I wonder if that was always your fantasy or if this is a surprise.
I try to go through life with no expectations or low expectations so that I can always be surprised if things turn out well. So I hoped that it would get read. When I started the book, there really wasn't much of a marketplace for actual graphic novels in bookstores. You had to sell comics through comic shops, and that has a very limited audience. I dreamed of a day when this book would be read by a more general reading audience. And you cross your fingers and hope that it's received well and that it gets written up. But I certainly didn't think about I wasn't trying to create an epic. I was just sort of focused. It was really just focusing page by page. And I was just thinking this morning how when I drew that last page, like it was like the end of The Wizard of Oz when Dorothy wakes up.
Uh-huh.
Except that I was waking up out of a black and white world into a full color world. And the whole thing feels like a dream at this point.
It does, really?
Yeah, it's a strange. I can go back and look at those pages and almost not remember having drawn them.
you've written this book and put it out in a particularly contentious and tense time in American history and politics. And I'll leave it up to you to draw any connections you might see there.
The connections are strong, and they're usually a lot of the same forces are at work now, and they've been at work throughout human history, of course. But right now in our country and in various other places in the world, the kind of fear-mongering and scapegoating of forces that hold the reins of power has kind of intensified. And there's direct parallels in terms of the forces that are manifest right now. You can't draw as many kind of direct, kind of concrete, practical parallels, but you can see a lot of the kind of underlying philosophies and strategies are certainly in play right now. And I find that lucky me. This book comes out right at a time when those things are coming to a head. But I would rather kind of have faded into obscurity than have that be the the happy coincidence or unhappy coincidence of this book's publication.
Well, the book is called Berlin, and it's by Jason Lutz, a cartoonist who teaches at the Center for Cartoon Studies in White River Junction. He's giving a talk about the book and his art Thursday at 3 p.m. at the Center for Cartoon Studies before a gallery show featuring the book's artwork is revealed, and we have all of the details at vpr.net. Jason, congratulations, and thank you very much for talking with me.
Thank you.